football on off the ball.
I mean, recency bias aside, and it's a double dose of recency bias, I can't remember a better Champions League match.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Good evening and welcome to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. And after the frivolous affair between Paris Saint-Germain and Bayern Munich last night, we finally get some real football tonight. It is Atletico Madrid versus Arsenal at the Wanda Metropolitano from 8 p.m. Owen Doyle is in studio with us for the night, and we've got Philippe Auclair joining us from 7:30 to build up to the game. And let's be honest, talk quite a bit about what happened in Paris yesterday evening. Also tonight, Brian O'Driscoll will preview Leinster versus Toulon from 8 o'clock. And Susanna Mullen will join us before 9 o'clock because she popped down to an IRFU combine recently to try out basically for a professional contract with Irish Rugby. So she's going to tell us how she got on. Our number is 087-9180-180 if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. And we can say good evening to David Seagrave. Evening, David.
Good evening. How are you?
Very well. Arthur O'D is back with us. How are you, Arthur?
Great.
And as mentioned, Owen Doyle, how are you doing?
I'll go down.
Let's start with last night. By the way, just seeing the first pictures coming through from the Wanda, it looks bright. It looks like it's going to be okay conditions. There were some suggestions that it was going to be storm-like conditions in Madrid this evening. It looks perfectly fine now, even though there must be a good bit of moisture on the pitch. But last night, one of my favourite lines is from Vincent Duluc of L'Équipe, who called the game a whirlwind of every emotion and every impulse contradictory. And furious. Mm. I don't really know what that means, but it's gone through a translator, and it's certainly probably the opposite of what Kenny Cunningham thinks of last night's game.
Yeah, defenders have their own way of looking at football, I suppose.
I applaud Kenny Cunningham, by the way. I saw a lot of sort of dog whistling going on social media last night. Oh, Kenny Cunningham didn't think this was a good game. And then cue social media pylon on Kenny Cunningham, who had an honestly held opinion, which was a really interesting opinion and a great insight to who he is and his experience as a footballer. I think we need to, you know, protect these individual opinions a little bit more than just being like, you disagree with the vast majority of people online, therefore you are an idiot, which seemed to be the prevailing theme online.
There's definitely logic to what he was saying. Like, there shouldn't have been that many 1v1 situations last night, you know? But like, for me, like, I was an attacker, like, and I'm watching a match. I watch a game to see goals and chances. You know, someone that's been a defender the whole life might have a different approach on it. Like, they might look at it and say, how are these teams stopping goals and chances? Like, what he's saying, like there is logic to it, but what an entertaining game. That's one of the best games I've ever seen. Just amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
It's hard not to judge our expectations for tonight based on what we saw last night, right? Like, I mean, it's something we were speaking about yesterday evening with Keith, just this expectation that what we were seeing last night was the final. But these things can often be way too simplified. I'm not sure that we can actually rush to that conclusion. As good as the attacking play was last night, I still think there is a problem to be provided by one of these two teams this evening.
You mean last night should have been the final type of thing? Or you wish it was the final?
No, that as in whoever wins in Munich is the Champions League winner.
Mm. You never know in a one-off game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just impossible to know. The mad thing I find about last night is like how often, it's rare enough that every single attacker is at 100%.
Yeah.
And that's what it was last night. Every single one of them was amazing.
That was it, because we were like wondering, like, who's the best winger on this pitch right now?
Yeah.
Because all four of them put in all-time great performances. Whether it was like Kvaratskhelia, I think, seems to be the person who's come out on top for a lot of people, but I thought Luis Diaz was possibly the best winger on the pitch. I love Desiree Doué's performance last night, and then Elise was awesome. So like four of the greatest winger performances we've seen in one game. But when we come to something like this and, you know, comparing one team to another, one of the things that really grinds my gears is when media companies try and do a combined team of, like, say, Arsenal versus Atletico, and they take two teams and combine them together and come up with a best 11. However, one thing that I love is when you take four teams and combine the best players from all four semi-finalists and come up with a combined 11 from four teams. So, Owen Doyle, if I were to ask you to give us a combined 11 of Paris Saint-Germain, Bayern Munich, Atletico Madrid and Arsenal, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm all over this, over me Pablo Picantes earlier on.
Shout out, Pablo.
Yeah.
Love you.
tough. Like even the first one, like I picked Raya in goal out of the four goalkeepers. Now, I'm unhappy with that pick. I don't know why. But because of the personnel on the pitch and attacking sense, the build-up play and stuff, I think he's the one I want in goal.
Okay.
But I'm not happy about that. Let's just know that. Obviously, you have to go with Hakimi and Mendes as the two fullbacks.
Okay.
This Arsenal approach, you just play four centre-backs back there, it's just that's not good football, and this is how it should be played. So the two of them are amazing. So that's what I'm going. I'm going with the Brazilian pairing of Marquinhos and Gabriel.
Okay.
Right. I was looking at Marquinhos recent games he's played. They pull him out. They don't play him in league games before Champions League matches. So on the weekend he's not playing for PSG. Or if he does, he comes on and plays short minutes and stuff, which is what I loved early on in the game, and Luis Diaz kicked it by him and he just stood his ground and gave him a shoulder, took the early booking. But a defender that high quality knows how to play on a yellow card.
Yeah.
You know, it's not one of them where I wouldn't say Luis Enrique was panicking for the rest of the game and thinking, oh no, my star centre back here is booked. I need to take him off early in case something happens. No, he's fine. He's definitely there. Gabriel, I've thrown in set pieces. It's always good to have a centre back on that. If this team was actually playing against an opposition, if this team was playing against Atletico Madrid, they're playing against a low block, right? Maybe a set piece is what's going to be needed here to win the match. So I've got Gabriel in there. You know, it's going to be scoring it from the back post.
Yeah.
Because that's where every single Arsenal corner goes.
There's almost like a disparaging nature to your two Arsenal selections so far.
Well, that's all. They're the only two that got in, pal. So.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. All right, bring us to the midfield.
Right, so going with Vitinha in the middle of the pitch.
Okay.
Along with Pavlovic.
Yeah, good.
Excellent last night. I actually didn't know he was so young. Watching him. Brilliant, covered every blade of grass. The way he's able to adjust his positioning. Excellent, mopping things up in there. And Vitinha, he's like the next version of Savvy, isn't he, that we've had? Probably the closest thing we've had where just give him the ball at feet, doesn't matter how many people are around him. Loads of touches and you know he's going to hold on to the ball for you. Brilliant. So, Kvaratskhelia on the left.
Okay.
No debates there, is there? Elise on the other side. No debates there. And then Dembele and Kane.
Okay, so who's your 10, who's your 9?
Well, Kane is naturally going to drop deep, isn't he, when Dembele's... they'd start off with Dembele as the 10, funny enough, but Kane's going to go into them areas all the time and Dembele will hit on the break constantly.
So it's Ryan Goal, Hakimi, Marquinhos, Gabriel, Mendes, Vitinha, Pavlovic, Elise, Kane, Kvaratskhelia, Ousmane Dembele. It's an amazing team.
There's no Madrid player.
There's no Atletico Madrid player and only two Arsenal players in it. Honourable mentions, though.
Oh.
Newer, 40 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially going to be a Champions League finalist.
Good around the training ground.
Excellent around the training ground. Goalies usually are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild creatures.
Yeah.
They usually are.
Party planner.
Yeah. Alvarez. Yeah. There's another mention. It's rare enough you find centre forwards to have that work ethic as well. He's definitely one of them, and he's got the finesse to back it up as well. It's so brilliant. Luis Diaz, last night, my kids are Liverpool fans. My eldest was punching the couch in rage that he's not a Liverpool player anymore watching the game last night.
I mean, that's a...
He asked me, why did they sell him? Why did they sell him?
And did you sit him down and be like, son, listen, he had 1 year left in his contract.
Yeah. We've got Gakpo.
Yeah.
Had to sit him down and talk about PSR and financial fair play and stuff, yeah. Declan Rice is probably a little bit unlucky not to be in that midfield. But I went for the youth of Pavlovic. And Kimmich for his experience, and he's always very reliable. They're my honourable mentions of the lads that didn't quite make it.
Okay.
There you go. It's a good team. Thank you very much for doing that, Owen. 0879 180 180 is our WhatsApp number if you want to criticise and tear apart Owen Doyle's combined 11. We are this evening, though, David, starting with this evening. And you're going to put some meat in the bone of what's happening at the Wanda for us.
Yes, so this evening's Champions League semi-final will certainly have a lot to live up to as Arsenal take on Atletico at the Metropolitano from 8. It, of course, follows on from yesterday's stunning 9-goal thriller between Bayern Munich and current title holders Paris Saint-Germain. A severe thunderstorm warning has been issued in Madrid ahead of this evening's game. The two sides obviously met in the league phase of this competition earlier this season and the Gunners ran out 4-0 winners last October. However, that game was in the Emirates. And despite the comprehensive win, Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta insists that result has no bearing on how they've prepared for this evening.
obviously we learned things from that game, but tomorrow's game is going to be a completely different one, especially playing here. We know what they've done and what they are capable of, and as well because we have now some experience as well in these kind of games, and we know exactly what we have to do.
Yeah, Mikel Arteta there. Also, Diego Simeone, he had a couple of comments during the week.
Yeah, he mentioned that this evening's opponents were interested in signing their striker, Julian Alvarez. The 26-year-old, who formerly played for Man City, of course, has bagged 20 goals across 52 games this season. And Simeone said he's an extraordinary player. There's interest from Arsenal, Paris Saint-Germain, Barcelona and other teams, but it's nothing we are concerned about.
Okay, so the starting 11s tonight, it's Jan Oblak in goal for Atletico Madrid. It's Marcus Llorente, Marc Pubil, David Hanko and Matteo Ruggeri. Across the back, it's Giuliano Simeone on the right, is Koke, Cardoso in midfield and Ademola Lookman on the left, and then that pair up front of Julian Alvarez and Antoine Griezmann. For Arsenal then, it's David Raya in goal, a back four of Piero Incapié, Gabriel, Saliba, Ben White. In midfield, it's Rice, Zubimendi and Odegaard. And then up top, it is Victor Gyökeres leading the line, Nani Madueke to the right, Gabriel Martinelli to the left. You've got Saka on the bench, you've got Eze on the bench. Any surprises there, Owen?
Just a bit underwhelming, the Arsenal attack, I think. I thought Eze would be in the team. Yeah, I don't know. I think we just got so spoiled last night that I'm a bit upset.
Yeah.
Can we just watch that game again and hear now?
I mean,
I'd be up for that, like, you know.
I would love to. Yeah. I would love to. In terms of going after a creditable draw tonight to bring back to the Emirates next week, is that the team to do that? Or do you actually have to start Eze or Saka? Maybe Saka's not fully fit just yet, to try and put something on the scoreboard tonight, because it does feel like you'll get plenty of work from Madueke and Martinelli, but you may not get a goal from them.
I know, they're still good attackers.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, they are capable. Like, they are really capable. I don't know, I would love them to see Eze in there, you know. And when Saka's not in an Arsenal team, I'm always... And look, Saka hasn't really been performing this year anyway, but... It's like when he's, because he is so good. I remember this stage of the Champions League last year, he was exceptional. Is that you kind of, I hate seeing him on the bench. You know what I mean? I'd like him to be in that team. But no, like, they're capable of going out. It's hard to, like, listen, we all think both of them are just going to hold on for the nil-nil, I think, and see what happens in the second leg and treat that like a final.
Yeah.
To get to the final. But you never know. Like, we've seen Arteta surprises going to Man City last weekend, but you came before last. Maybe he'll surprise us again tonight.
Yeah. Is it too presumptuous if you're holding Saka back for the second leg, even if the reason why you're holding him back is that he's not 100% fit? Because, like, if you want to choose between one of these two games for him to be fully fit and raring to go, you're probably picking the home leg.
Yeah, I think he's doing the right thing to have him. Yeah. If that is the case, the right thing is to have him for the home leg, yeah. No, I'd agree with that.
Did you see the Marcus Llorente stuff in the build-up to this game? The Daily Telegraph did... a piece on him, and the headline was, "I'm no weirdo. Football's biggest conspiracy theorists targets Arsenal." And the opening paragraph is quite something. How to stop Marcus Llorente? It is a question being asked at Arsenal, who face Llorente's Atletico Madrid in a Champions League semi-final, and also at the Spanish Ministry of Health. Within the Spanish government, Llorente is better known as a threat to public health than a threat to Arsenal's defence. So there's a whole heap of conspiracy theories that have been put forward by Llorente to his massive social media following. Now, in fairness, a lot of his kind of theories surround just natural living and what he's putting into his body, which is totally fair. But one of the things that he's not a fan of is sunscreen. So sunscreen makes you weak. If you're putting on sunscreen, you're kind of playing to big sunscreen, basically, and you're making yourself more vulnerable to the sun more than anything else. One of his quotes from 2024, "If you think skin cancer is caused by sun exposure, you're the king of ignorance." And then earlier this year, he posed in a sunscreen costume adorned with the words "protection against your biology" and "blocking vitamin D since 1985. And he says that the sun's rays should always hit your eyes and skin without anything interfering. So that's the thrust of what the Telegraph are reporting about Marcus Llorente today. But he does follow a Paleolithic diet, which is based on whole and unprocessed foods and does not eat after sunset. That sounds okay.
Is that the sunset part that made it be called that now? Yeah. I heard that a little before.
Neither have I, but that seems to be what it's
be fairly convinced on. Though that 50% of this studio wouldn't be alive now only for sun cream.
It's very
mainly
true.
Me and you.
If I lived the Marcus Llorente lifestyle,
gone.
I would be a pillar of salt.
Gone.
Yeah. Where are you taking us next, David?
So just to the WSL, Chelsea captain Millie Bright has retired from football with immediate effect. The 32-year-old made 294 appearances for the Blues after joining from Doncaster in 2015 and also won 88 caps for England. She won 8 Women's Super League titles as well as 6 FA Cups and 4 League Cups. The former England defender has not featured for the Blues since February because of an ankle injury and also retired from international duty last year when she said she was not able to give 100% physically and mentally. She confirmed the news in an emotional social media post this afternoon saying she was ready to say goodbye to football.
Now then, Robin Barnsley has been in touch to say that João Neves, not included in Owen's 11, disgrace. Best small man in the air I've seen since Fabio Cannavaro and a midfield maestro. Complete player.
Yeah, put Gabriel in for me set pieces though. You know, I don't disagree. Like, I don't disagree with what he's saying. Yeah, I want a big man good in the air. Yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah. Good big and beats a good little one. You know.
Patrick says, if every attacker was at 100% last night, was that because every defender was at 33%? Don't know how you've done the maths there, Patrick, but I think it's a valid question. Owen, what do you think?
They're just so exposed. Like, the defenders were so exposed. Both of them attacked in with such numbers. Like, because it was so end-to-end as well, it was like the middle of the pitch just didn't exist for large parts of it, which just left the defender so exposed. The madness. And you have to, like, the weird things. Like Harry Kane, for me, is like one of the weirdest strikers because nothing makes sense of how he plays. He spends most of his time away from where he does the most damage, yet he's ruthless when he gets into them right areas. Like, if I was a coach and I was saying to a young striker, go look at how Harry Kane plays, that'd be a bad thing to say because, like, he's getting the ball off a centre-back 20 yards from his own goal. Yeah, when the ball lands to him inside the box or anywhere near the box or even his final pass and someone's running off him, he's exceptional. How he does it and the way he does it is unbelievable and it's so unique. And it's only really unique to him. So there's all these weird things happening on the pitch last night that don't really make any sense. Now, don't get me wrong, he's been doing that for a number of years. He was doing it in his Tottenham days as well, where, like, you'd imagine he'll become like a similar to a Wayne Rooney when he gets older, where he might just drop deeper into and play midfield.
Yeah, his passing's also got better. Like, the vision and the execution on the Diaz goal was just incredible. It was amazing. Like, as Keith said last night, it's one of those games that if you were to rewatch, you can't really do it justice with just the highlights. You've got a couple of more football stories for us, David. Mudrick is next up.
Yeah, so continuing on with Chelsea, Mikhailo Mudrick is appealing to the Court of Arbitration for Sport after he was given a 4-year ban by the English FA for anti-doping violations. The Ukrainian winger, who cost £88 million, hasn't played for the club since November of 2024. He believes his positive test for meldonium was from a contaminated sample, and he was, of course, provisionally suspended by the FA in December of 2024.
Okay, a couple of more texts coming in. Owen says, I have numerous different subscriptions and still couldn't watch the Bayern Paris Saint-Germain game last night. Sport has become out of reach for so many fans who can't afford to pay for all these extra channels, and very few big events are now on national broadcasters. That is the one thing about that yesterday. Like, we're lucky enough to be able to watch it here in the office. You kind of forget that half the country probably wasn't watching this game, or certainly when you compare it to 20 years ago, a fraction of the people would have been watching that game last night compared to those watching Juventus versus AC Milan at the 2003 Champions League final, for example, which Kenny Cunningham mentioned it on that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was surprised. I went looking for it. Normal, like the RTE, and was it on Virgin? Wasn't there. Panic stations, yeah. I have all the subscriptions as well, so I watch it on Premier. But no, my old man this morning said he watched it on Amazon. I was like, well, really? I didn't even know they had the rights to it, so yeah, it's a strange one, like, you know.
Declan says then, last night's game was a little bit like a game we used to play on the road called Last Man Back. Last man was the goalkeeper.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And that's why David Raya makes Owen Doyle's 11. Yeah. Now then, where are we turning to next, David?
Just looking at tomorrow's Europa League action, Aston Villa midfielder Amadou Onana faces a late fitness test to see if he'll be able to play against Nottingham Forest in their semi-final. He missed Saturday's Premier League defeat against Fulham because of a knee injury, and his manager Unai Emery said he would be assessed at training earlier this afternoon.
Okay, so that pretty much wraps up the football news this evening. We've got some interesting news coming out of The Oireachtas Committee, which took place at government buildings today, though.
Yes, Andy Dunn was part of a group from Trinity College expressing concern over brain injuries in rugby. The former Leinster and Connacht out half joined with the professors Matthew Campbell and Colin Doherty from the university, argued that protection does not make sport safer when it comes to brain injuries. The topic has, of course, long been discussed in rugby circles with the class action lawsuit taking place by some former players against World Rugby, RFU and the WRU. A similar suit was also settled by the NFL in 2013, and Dunn told the committee that there's been a positive culture change in rugby towards head injuries since his retirement in 2010.
There was a culture of, to quote Colin, gladiatorial combat in the sport, but over time, with monitoring that was introduced, it mightn't have been ideal or perfect, but awareness began to raise. The incidence of chronic or acute issues like CTE in the sport, I think the class action in the NFL, just helped raise awareness among sports players and among coaching and management. I think right now that has made a huge level of progress. I think there's almost a complete reversal around that attitude and approach to coming off the field. I think is accepted by peers, among players and coaches, even against their own competitive will, for example.
Yeah, like the Gary Ringrose decision around the Leinster last year is a great example of that. There was some interesting stuff in this. And look, it's been a conversation that's happened before just about how wearing protection in your head is not necessarily as good as you think it is. That sure, it provides minimal, you know, protection from whatever it may be, from concussions, but it's minimal. And then also your behaviours change as a result of that with regards to feeling braver, rushing into the tackle, putting your head in places where you wouldn't ordinarily put it when it was completely unprotected. And like when they talk about the hurling helmet, for example, that they talk about the fact that it's been really good for superficial injuries and lacerations, but actually trying to rely on a helmet or a scrum cap as a protection from concussion just is not good enough. So it's something we might come back to as a show and try and dig a little bit deeper into it, but good to see this conversation happening in a fairly public forum like that. Sticking with rugby, we have Munster news, David.
Yes, Munster have confirmed that Jack O'Donoghue has signed a new deal. The back row has togged out 236 times for the Reds across his 8 years at the province, and the new deal will see him remain there for at least one more season.
Now then, on to the F1.
Silverstone has offered to host any F1 races that are cancelled due to the unrest in the Middle East. Bahrain and Saudi Arabia were forced to cancel their Grand Prix earlier this year due to the conflict, while events in Qatar and Abu Dhabi are still on the calendar for this season. And the track CEO Stuart Pringle said he'd be happy to fill any gaps in the schedule.
Well, I have offered because we stepped in during COVID and we were able to help Formula One, and if that would help, then of course we will. You know, there are numerous practicalities that need to be considered, and so you know, the offer's in. They know we're here, and we can move quickly if asked. I pride myself on not having spare windows, but everything's movable in a crisis.
We do have an F1 pod every week, by the way, which you can listen to, which is bringing us all the build up to the Grand Prix this weekend. Barry has been back in touch to say it doesn't excuse it, but you can see why so many people go the dodgy box route. How many subscriptions do you need to see sports nowadays, he asks. And that's the reality of the situation. That's on the back of the unavailability for a lot of people to watch Bayern versus Paris Saint-Germain last night. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to get in touch. The latest from the World Snooker Championship then.
Well, we'll have a new champion at the World Championships this year. Defending title holder Zhao Zintong has been eliminated at the quarterfinal stage by another former winner in Sean Murphy. The magician won 4 of the last 5 frames, which included a break of 129. He'll face one of either John Higgins or Neil Robertson in the semis, with the pair resuming their third session as we speak. Elsewhere, Mark Allen has made the final 4 of the World Snooker Championships for just the 3rd time in his career. The Antrim native defeated England's Barry Hawkins 13 frames to 11, and he spoke to the BBC after his win about his experience in the semis before.
I hope so. I hope so. No, this will be my 3rd time now at the one table setup. I felt like I played all right against Selby that time. He got the better of me 17-15, but yeah, I think I'm a better player now than I was then. We want to go out there and entertain, so, and there's no better place to do that, one table setup here at the Crucible. I feel really fresh. I know I've said I've been under the weather the last couple of days, but I feel so fresh. I feel like I have a lot more to offer and still a lot of room for improvement too.
He's due to face one of Hussein Fafei or Wu Yitze, with the Chinese potter looking the more likely of the two at the moment. He leads 10 frames to 6 in their tie, and it looks like he's about to go and win an 11th as well.
And then finally, you might give us the latest on the Antrim hurling situation.
Antrim GAA chairperson Seamus McMullen says they're treating concerns raised by players very seriously. Members of the county's hurling team had written a letter expressing concern over rumours of a failed attempt to oust manager Davy Fitzgerald from his role. However, the board has since clarified that at no point was that decision taken. The squad also cancelled training last night after a request to meet with the county chair was not honoured. McMullen has since said he's open to addressing the concerns directly, but he couldn't meet the panel due to other commitments. However, the BBC has since reported that the team were likely to meet with officials today.
One other piece of Gaelic Games news, and it's a massive blow for the Westmeath footballers ahead of their Leinster semi-final clash with Kildare this weekend. Luke Loughlin, who starred in their win over Meath, has been ruled out for the year with hamstring and tendon injuries, which are going to require surgery. So regardless of where their season ends up, he's going to be out for the remainder of the summer. He was in brilliant form going into that Meath game, and he stepped up to the plate in that shock win, and obviously people will have been concerned about the injury, and it seems that the worst fears have materialised there. So Westmeath versus Kildare this weekend, that's a big leg up for Kildare in that Leinster semi-final. David, thank you very much for tonight's news round. Arthur and Owen, thank you. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be joined by Philippe Auclair after the break, and the news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50mg film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150ml tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following a pharmacist consultation.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50mg film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.